This is Here and Now. Recreational marijuana is now legal in 10 states and Washington, D.C. And I guess it was only a matter of time before a book came out about marijuana etiquette. Should you tip your bud tender at a marijuana dispensary? What should you do if you break a bong at a party? And why is 420 a synonym for cannabis? The author is Lizzie Post, the great-great-granddaughter of etiquette maven Emily Post and the current co-president of the Emily Post Institute. The book is called Higher Etiquette. Lizzie Post, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I have to say, I have not read anything from your great-great-grandmother, Emily Post, but I do have a friend who, whenever we go out to dinner and one person is served before everybody else, will say, Emily Post says you can eat. And so we eat. I don't know if that's true or not, but I like to use it from time to time.
It is. Emily definitely says to check in with the people around you. But for the most part, food should be eaten hot.
Okay. So what made you decide to do a book about the etiquette of marijuana use?
So this book came about, it was one of those where a publisher was looking to do a book on what the email came to me as weed etiquette, and it came across my inbox one day. The person presenting it to us didn't think that it was right for our brand, but I said, hey, wait a second, I literally raised my hand in my office alone to no one and was like, no, right here, I'll do that. That sounds good. It's a topic that we've talked about for a number of years, but it was really great to finally get the right opportunity to write a book on it.
And what is it that you think needs to get out there? What message about it needs to be spread to the masses, especially now that marijuana is being legalized in so many places?
I think that the biggest messages are really to destigmatize and to normalize this and to help people understand that there are many different reasons to engage with cannabis. There's many different ways that people bring it into their lives, and that kind of the classic stereotypical images really aren't the only ones out there.
Do you think that the etiquette of marijuana is different than the etiquette of alcohol?
There are definitely differences to it, but they have a lot of crossover, especially when it comes to things like letting people know whether or not it's something that you allow in your home. I know that I have family and friends who keep alcohol-free homes, and so that was always a part of the invitation. And same goes with cannabis. If you have a 420-friendly home, you want to either let guests who are unfamiliar with that part of your life know that that's something that might be going on at your house, or choose to let guests who are familiar with that going on at your house know that, hey, tonight's party is going to be kind of a mixed crowd and we're not going to be consuming this evening. So it's all about communication.
And it's all about respect, according to your book, that you've got to respect
yes.
how other people feel about it and how you feel about it.
Yes. And I've got to say that I have had some of my best conversations about the book with people who are non-consumers and people who might not even have the best view of consumers. And I've really found that by presenting my own consumption and my own choices for why I engage with cannabis in a really positive light and showing that it's something that's really benefited my life, I've gotten a lot of respect and judgment-free conversations out of it. I'm not trying to tell someone they need to do it, but I am letting them know that it's been a really good thing in my life.
Let's go through some of the pieces of advice that you offer in this
okay.
book. First of all, you talk about what you should say when you go into a marijuana dispensary, that you should describe what you're trying to feel from whatever you're going to consume.
Sure. So strains can be named just about anything, and the name isn't going to always indicate what it is that you're going to feel or the effects that you're going to get from this particular strain. And one of the overwhelming differences I noticed when I went to legalized states was that bud tenders really spent time saying, well, what kind of high are you looking for? What do you want out of this? Mm-hmm. And that gave them a better sense for what kinds of strains that they have that might work really well for me.
So what kind of thing would you say to that question?
Oh, so I would say, well, I really like something that I can be social on, so something that's going to give me energy and maybe some focus, or I really want something that's going to just be a giggly, light, easy high. Other times I might go in and say, you know, I'm really looking for something that I'd like to take before bed, something that's going to relax me, really help me kind of calm down, go to sleep, stay asleep for the night. So different things like that are are ways to go in terms of the effects that you're seeking.
I did some reporting in Colorado at one of the first dispensaries to open there, one of the biggest dispensaries to open there. And it was interesting to walk in downtown Denver, and you see people, all kinds of people, including people in business suits, walking in to the dispensary to get marijuana.
Oh, yeah. All different kinds of people consume for all different kinds of reasons. It is a vast community, I would say.
Okay. Well, that brings us actually to something else that you talk about in this book, which is delivery of marijuana, which I guess is a pretty common thing now in some of the states where it's legal, especially. And one of the things that you say is, don't invite drivers in to smoke or have a drink. They're at work and likely have other deliveries to make, and they often can't partake while on the clock. This goes for asking them to play video games or come in for a meal or get involved in roommate or relationship dramas as well. Is that a big problem that people do?
I think part of that was a little bit of nod to shows like High Maintenance and just stories I have heard from people where they're like, you know, you'll walk in and someone will be in the middle of a roommate fight, and it's like, they keep going and it's awkward. And I think people also tend to be really generous in the cannabis community. So I did hear that there was a lot of offering of like, hey, do you want some food? We're in the middle of cooking this.
But you shouldn't do that, you're saying.
Yeah, it's that you want to respect the fact that this person, you know, has somewhere to go. And I also don't want to say that, you know, some delivery relationships, they might be strong enough where that becomes a commonality. But you want to be respectful of the fact that this person does have other deliveries to make.
You also talk, by the way, in terms of being generous and sharing about the etiquette involved with, let's say that somebody brings weed over to somebody else's house.
Yeah.
And you have to be clear about whether that is for the person that you're bringing it to or whether that is supposed to be shared publicly. Sort of, I guess, the way that you would think about if you're bringing a very nice bottle of wine over to dinner, you might not want them to open that up that evening, but rather save it for later.
It's fun, right? Like when you start really thinking about it, it gets to be really fun. Exactly. So I like making the distinction between something that's really a gift to be enjoyed for the host or hostess versus something that is brought as a contribution to the entire evening. Now, just like most hosting gifts, whether or not the host chooses to make it a part of the evening is really up to the host from an etiquette standpoint. But I love that idea of bringing something that's a thank you that just the host and their partner or, you know, or the other people that live in the house can enjoy together as a thank you for the celebration. And then I also love bringing something that's a contribution to the evening should the host want to provide it for the evening and actually share it for the evening.
You also have social media advice. You say people should take care with photos, posts, and comments and be prepared to take things down if somebody's not happy that you posted a photo of them using marijuana, I guess.
It's really important to recognize that while someone might be totally comfortable sharing their cannabis consumption with you and talking about it with you, that posting it to their larger life online might not be something they are comfortable with. And just getting used to respecting other people's boundaries like that is really key.
That brings us to the fact that this interview between you and me is being heard in states where cannabis is legal and also in states where it is not legal.
Yes.
How do you handle that part of it? What's the etiquette involved with some people who for whom it is not legal to consume?
So we really wrote this book from the perspective of legalized usage. And as a company, we can't say go out there and do all of this if it's not legal. But we certainly a lot of the etiquette in the book will apply to folks who are consuming in states where prohibition is still active. And I say, be careful, help try to change the laws where you can, and certainly travel to and enjoy the states where cannabis is legalized.
What do you say to people who maybe would be listening to this conversation and thinking, you know, I don't believe that cannabis should be legal, that it impairs judgment, that it is not good for people with developing brains like younger people, that it can be dangerous if you use it and then drive, that it could be bad for your health in certain ways. What do you say to that?
I say that those are all really valid concerns, and I certainly appreciate those perspectives. My hope would be that that person would be open to whatever news or information that they're hearing that's both scientific and anecdotal as they encounter cannabis more and more in their communities. Whether their communities are legalized or not, it's a conversation that's happening much more in mainstream America today.
What do you think your great-great-grandmother, Emily Post, would think of this book?
It's funny. I think she would appreciate the book. I don't think she would love my smoking cannabis because she wasn't a fan of smoke in general. Mm. But I do think that she would really appreciate the fact that people are allowed to engage with something that they feel makes their lives better or more enjoyable. And I think she was someone who always fought for that. She fought very hard against prohibition, but she herself never consumed alcohol. So I could see her really fighting for the right for people to make decisions for themselves around it. And I could also see her choosing not to engage with it herself.
That is Lizzie Post, whose new book is called Higher Etiquette, A Guide to the World of Cannabis from Dispensaries to Dinner Parties. Lizzie Post, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And to read an excerpt, go to hereandnow.org.